All right, y'all. Welcome to the inaugural, which means the very first wrestling show did here on Sin City. You know me, it's your boy Chaz, as usual, out chilling with Tama. You know, Tama was good, man.
Man, wrestling talk 101, baby.
Okay, that's what's up. We got the wrestling round table. So, you know how we is, man. You know, we're going to, this is something that we know about. This is something we know about like the back of our hand. We know this inside out. We know this wrestling thing inside out. So, I mean, any topic, anything, we going to do it. I see we got Wick coming on now.
What it do?
What's
good,
dog?
You got it.
Welcome to the inaugural, the very first wrestling roundtable, wrestling 101.
All right, let's see, we got
Big John Studd calling in. Big John, what's happening?
I'm gonna tell you about one of the greatest entertainers in the world. In the business, we're talking about Slick Rick. We're talking about jet flying, kids stealing, his stealing, wheelie dealing, 16-time world heavyweight champion, Rick Flair, out of North Kakalaki, baby.
Big job. What's happening, man?
Oh, man, I'm so pumped up because you got this show coming on about these wrestlers, and you know how we make it do what it do, baby. You know, we slam, right. We grand slam and body slam.
That's how we live in the day. All right, that's right.
We give a shout out from Gary, Indiana. And as a former Greco wrestler myself, I was 13-0, and I just retired 3 years ago. And I was happy to say I was 13-0, baby, 13-0 in the season, in the 165 class myself. You understand? You hear? You heard?
I hear you, dog. That's what's up. All right, y'all, check it. I guess we might as well, we can get it on and started then. We got enough people on the round table to get this started. All right,
okay,
now
what they need, what do they need to know, and what do I need to do?
All right, hold on a second. All right, I'm going to set the ground rules, man. We talking about the top five wrestlers. Your top five, not your performers. We're talking about technical wrestlers.
No, you can't just use that Father Time because you got to go with charisma, how they
carry
the show.
That's another topic.
Well, if anything, I'd be number one anyway. You know what I'm saying?
There's not that many wrestlers out there.
There's enough for a top five. We're talking about top five technical wrestlers of all time. That's the first one we're going to hit. All right, now we're going to start with Big John Studd. Give us your top five technical wrestlers. We talking about just in the ring. No microphone, none of that. Just in-ring wrestling. Give us your top five.
Chris Jericho, Chris Benoit, Ken Patera. I can go along with myself. Ken Patera, Chris Jericho. Then we got the brothers, the Bulldog, you know what I'm saying? We got him, and they're technical wrestlers. They start off in college and high school and all through life. And also, there's some new generations out there. There's also Barry Gordy, you know, and he was a very good technical wrestler. Also, we got the dude from Jamaica. He's very good. Pardon?
Ain't Barry Gordy from Motown? Oh, you mean Terry
no,
Gordy?
There's a Barry Gordy. He's from South Dakota. White guy. His name is Barry Gordy. He was with the ACW for a little bit, and then he was with the WWE on a short time period. He's about maybe 38 years old now.
That's your top five.
Yes, sir. Okay.
I understand that you got and for all good reasons. I mean, but actually, Ken Patera? Really?
Right. That's what I was going to say.
Very good. Ken Patera wrestled. Ken Patera, he was a strong man, Ken Patera, but he did Greco-Roman. He did Greco-Roman college and high school wrestling, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, but he was a power lifter. I mean, come on, Ken Patera.
Ken Patera, yeah, he was almost in the Olympics.
No, he did the weightlifting thing, but that's far
no,
as
no,
my,
no.
Man,
he tried he to go out for wrestling, but he tried to go out for wrestling in the Olympics, but they encouraged him to go for, well, I mean, I've seen him on television. I seen him on television when he wrestled before he got into powerlifting. He was in powerlifting and wrestling. I seen all that,
and I seen him go through Vern Gagne's training, him
training
and Rick Flair. And I seen when he came in, he came in at 300 and something pounds. By the time Vern Gagne finished with him, he was down to a slim trim 260. But
that's
come
right.
on, man.
He was the one that trained Rick Flair as well when Rick Flair first started.
Well, hold on. Now, he didn't train Ric Flair.
I got the DVD. I got proof.
I got the DVD too. Now, what he did is he brought Ric Flair to the fold. Now, Vern Gagne did the training. Vern Gagne.
Right,
but
Ken Patera was right along with him when he was running the mile.
Right, and I agree. Wait a minute, hold on 1 second. We got Jimmy coming in. Black Neck Jimmy, what's happening?
What's going on, fellas? What's happening? What are y'all talking about? I'm sorry, I'm late.
We're going on the top five technical wrestlers.
And then I forgot about Vern Gagne as well.
Well, man, hold on. Well, Big John Studd here. He named his five, and in his five, he named Ken Patera as one of the best technical wrestlers of all time. Me personally, I tend to disagree with it. A strong man, yeah. A technical wrestler, by far, no way.
Yeah, I kind of disagree with that, too.
Well, he did. Well, he did have his
he
part
didn't get
in
to
the
show
wrestling
it in the
world.
Ring, though. He didn't show
not
it in
as much, because, you know, they placated him as a strong man. But see, but all in all, he wrestled in high school and he wrestled in college.
Okay,
I mean,
all right.
We're going to tend to disagree with Ken Patera. But now, Black Neck, you just call it in. Give us your top five technical wrestlers, in-ring technical wrestlers. No, none of that performing and the greatest performer, the greatest man on the mic, straight out wrestling. Top five.
All right. Let's see. I'd have to go with Bret Hart, number one. I'd go with Bret.
True that.
Okay, I have to go with Bret. Number two, I gotta go with Macho Man.
Yeah.
Wow.
Disagree.
Okay. I can go with that one.
Okay. Macho Man was showboat.
Hold on, Big John. Hold on. Let him finish the list.
You Flash. You number Flash.
Hold on, John. Let him finish his top five out.
Will do. Yes, sir.
Let's see. Number three, I would probably have to go with Ricky Steamboat.
Yes, I agree.
That's a good choice. I agree.
He's
a good technical.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I have to go. Also, I gotta go with Ric Flair.
Thank you.
I gotta go with Rick. Technically, Rick was technically sound.
Yes, he was.
Another one that a lot of people probably not going to want to agree with. I got to go with Barry Windham, too.
I have to go with Barry Windham. Yeah, I agree with you there, too.
I agree with Barry.
Yeah, I agree with you, too.
Now, as far as I will put Barry as this. I mean, I agree with you, and by far he was one of the best technical big men of all time. Technical big
man.
Right, I get that.
But now, I'm going to say something. I'm going to say something that I know Thomas is going to disagree. Bret Hart. The Intercontinental
Oh,
years,
no.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
World champion title. Nah.
Mm-hmm.
I can take him or leave him. He did more whining than wrestling.
Get the fuck out of here.
Who did more
wine?
Fuck
out of here, man.
Now, who did
Wayne?
Who
nobody
did Wayne?
Bret Hart in the wrestling ring, man.
Bret Hart did more wine. He grinding.
Hold on, y'all didn't hear what I said. Now, y'all didn't hear what
okay.
I said. Now, I said, right. I said during the Intercontinental title run, oh, by far, Bret proved to everybody that he was one of the best technical wrestlers of all time. Now, during the world title year, he did more whining than wrestling. I mean, I'm putting on my own.
He got
ripped off.
It don't matter, man. It don't matter. But see, he got ripped off. He got ripped off on a lot of them world title matches. Everybody saw that. He got ripped off on a lot of them title matches. When he actually should have got that.
Can I finish what I'm saying, please? Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Can I finish what I'm saying? Now, I'm not taking him out of the top five. I'm not taking him out of the top five. I just say Bret, the Intercontinental Bret was better than the World Champion Bret. That's all I'm saying.
It don't matter, man, whether he was world champ or intercontinental champ.
Okay.
When Bret Hart stepped in that ring, he was by far the best wrestler in the ring.
Thank
I don't care when he was stepped in the ring. But even in WCW, he was the best wrestler in the ring.
Round for round, pound for pound, he was the best.
He was garbage in WCW. He barely even wanted to get in the ring.
It don't matter, but once he got in the ring, he was top off a better wrestler than
once he got in the ring, he took care of business.
It was a shadow of itself at WCW.
But he still was the best wrestler in the ring. I don't care who his opponent was. He was still the best wrestler in the ring, even in WCW.
Yeah, whatever.
He was the best.
All right, well, look, we're going to keep it moving. We're going to keep it moving, man. We're going to keep it moving. We got to get Wick's top five.
My top five, I agree with two of y'all top fives. Bret Hart, Ric Flair.
Mm-hmm.
But y'all left my boy out, Mr. Perfect, Kurt Henry.
Oh, yes, you're absolutely correct about
you,
that.
You left Kurt was a bad man.
Yes, he was. Very highly technical wrestler.
And my number four is a tie between Dean Malenko and Chris Benoit.
Yes. I forgot about Dean Malenko.
Great technical wrestler.
Very technical.
Okay.
Europe, Japan, all over the world. You know, he had a unique style. The Guerrero dude, what was his name? The one
Eddie,
that died.
Eddie Guerrero, that was my number five.
Exactly.
Number five,
Mr. Guerrero himself. Yes,
that's
sir.
Five,
Mr.
Guerrero.
You know what? Wick, I can honestly say that those are some good picks. I have nothing bad to say about nobody in that pick. I have nothing bad to say about nobody in those picks.
Well,
they all right.
I got a personal graphic.
What do you say? They
all right.
They all right.
What you say, Black Knight?
What you say, Jim?
I got a personal graphic with Chris Benoit, but that ain't going to do a wrestling on so.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, we all know him. I mean, what he did was fucked up, but...
Yeah, that was fucked up, but...
I got a problem with that. So I put him in my top nothing. Fuck him.
I could take his wrestling skills away from
fuck
him.
I didn't
regardless of what he did with his personal life, the man was good. The man, that's all he did
was
for wrestling. I mean, you know, when you're taking them steroids and stuff like that there, man, when you're taking them muscle-enhancing drugs, it's going to call... All right, that's just like what's the boy who killed Miss Elizabeth?
Lex Luger.
Was he?
Podcast Lex Luger.
Yeah,
okay,
Lex Luger.
On.
I mean,
before we get off, we jumping off subject. Now we jumping off subject. We all gonna agree that what he did was fucked up, but he was a beast in the ring, so we gonna agree with that. All right.
The Canadian Mauler.
No, you go with yours, man. You go with yours. Because I know mine's on point. Give us your top five.
All right, I'll give you my top five. I'm going to give you my top five. My top five. I mean, maybe not necessarily in this order, but this is my top five. I'm going to have to go Ric Flair, Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, Macho Man, Randy Savage.
No.
And... can I finish? Hold on, man.
I'm sorry.
I'm I know on Sin City we use the mute button. I don't think we got to use it on there. All right. And my number five pick, and I see where everybody coming at with it, but I'm gonna put him there anyway. Chris Benoit. Now that's my
five.
Thank you.
Shawn Michaels.
I even got
technical.
A disagree with Shawn
Michaels.
Oh, my Mike.
God.
He's a great,
I know somebody was going to say something about that.
He's
I
a great
somebody
performer.
Somebody was going to say something about
him, boy. Maybe his rock and roll, the Rockers days, he was a good wrestler. But once he got the belt, he was he was a performer.
He is nowhere near a technical wrestler.
I'm sorry.
Don't get me wrong.
Sorry.
I give it to him.
Like I said, Flash.
He went to 60 minutes. Boy, Brad didn't do this. Trust me. Brad old sad ass didn't do that match by himself.
Shawn Michaels, I'm sorry. Nah, he wouldn't have been one of my picks. I'm sorry.
Garbage, man. Straight up garbage.
I mean, he was this good. Shawn Michaels?
Okay.
Come on, man.
Right, Shawn Michaels. Man, come on. I look at it different. Okay, evidently I gotta defend this. All right.
Yes, you do.
Okay, now you tell me. Now, anybody go on YouTube or go anywhere you want, I give you a slew of matches where you cannot deny that this man did not perform.
Wait,
that's the big word you said.
What, when they
you
were the Rock
perform.
And Roll Express or whatever they were?
You said perform. He was a performer.
Exactly. He wasn't a wrestler.
He was
a worse
than
Stone Cold,
man.
Is you stupid? Come on,
yeah,
man.
Stone Cold and Rock all built into one, man.
Nah, I'm not going to say
no. I can't go. I'm sorry. I got to agree with the other people, man. Not no Shawn Michaels, man. I'm sorry. You know, he wasn't nothing.
I see his Rocky days. He wrestled.
Okay, wait a minute. Hold on 1 second. You just compared him to Stone Cold and The Rock and all that, right? I'm
correct.
You time.
Correct.
All right.
Correct. Absolutely.
All right.
Correct.
Hold on now.
Sorry.
All right now. But y'all want to can I say what I got to say? Y'all being very rude, you little bastards.
Nah. I'm sorry, man, but hey, the vote is in, man. You know, it's 4-1, man. I'm sorry, you know.
Okay, well, I'm going to be the one to play devil's advocate today because I'm going to go against the grain. And y'all think that's him. But like I said before, that just the world champion, Bret Hart, all he had was four moves.
We're talking about
Shawn Michaels.
Elbow off the top, the Russian leg sweep, sharpshooter. Okay. Come on now, you knew when that was coming. That was just as bad.
But they were effective moves. Like all Ric Flair really had was a figure four leg lock.
Wait a minute, hold on.
What
did Shawn Michaels have? He had the elbow drop and sweet cheer music. That's it.
Okay.
That's it.
My woman can raise
her leg higher than he could.
Wow.
All I want is that.
Damn.
On the real. I mean, hey, you know.
All right, Cassie. You got to admit that was funny. That was funny. You got to admit
that was funny.
Now what I'm locking ass about is the statement he just made earlier about Ric Flair. You just said the only move Ric Flair had was the 54.
But it was an effective move. And see, he didn't say you. The thing about it is, you had to be a smart champion. He was a smart champion.
Because he never really won any match with the 54. Unless it was preliminary match. So you can't say the
only move Ric Flair had. He won some.
Come on.
Okay, like when he went. Now, when he went up against the Texas Tornado, that was a blood match right there. But he beat him. He beat
Texas
him.
Texas Tornado?
No, come on. Kerry Von Erich.
You're stretching now with Kerry Von Erich. Now, you're really stretching now because.
He beat Kerry Von Erich. He done beat all
Kerry.
The Von Erichs. How do you think he got to the road to championship? He beat the Von Erichs. He beat.
He had to carry through that entire match. He had to carry him.
Yeah, he did.
He had the carries on there.
But he beat him.
He had the carries.
The record shows he beat the Von Erichs, all of them.
Exactly.
He beat them all. He beat them all.
Rick Flair can make a broomstick look good, so, hey, I mean, you cannot say he's just a one-dimensional wrestler that he only had this one move. Come on, man. He made Rocky King from Rocky King to
Rocky King? Come on, now. You know doggone well Rocky King was a front man. They threw him in there like throwing meat to sharks.
Right, and Rick Flair will make him look good.
Of course.
Rick Flair can make anybody look good in that ring.
And he does that. He does that. That's what makes him smart. But then overall,
right,
he going to come out on top anyway. You know what I'm saying? The best match that he had, I think, was with the Hawaiian dude. Now, that was a rough match because they had to go back over Ricky Steamboat. I think that was the best match there was that he ever fought. And, like, as far as Kerry Von Erich and all them, man, they were just, I mean, they were from out of Texas. They were putting Texas on the map or whatever, but not until they met up with the Nature Boy.
I'm not denying that.
Like,
I'm not denying this.
And guess what? And in closing, they were like Rosie Parks. They sat their ass down.
Why? No, they all died. That's what happened.
Well, the last one, he committed suicide. I'm telling you, that's what them steroids do to you. They drive you crazy.
The last couple of ones, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think they was all on steroids. Steroids didn't do that.
Hey, Father Time, have a technical difficulties. He called him back in.
Oh, I thought he got mad and hung up like he always do.
Nah, he having technical difficulties.
Damn.
He got it. He just hung up, that's all. You can't handle the heat, get out the kitchen, baby.
Yeah.
Turn
like
your air conditioner another notch.
He did like Bret Hart. He got upset and went to WCW.
That's right.
Damn.
But you got to understand one thing, though. Bret Hart was good. You got to give him his props now. He was good.
I'm not saying Bret Hart wasn't one of the best technical wrestlers of all time. But all I'm saying is that I believe Bret Hart tainted his career. That's what I believe. I believe Bret tainted
his career. Okay. Explain how he tainted his career. Bring that to my attention.
It's just like everybody else. Your time is your time. But when it's time to move on, you got to move. You can't sit there and keep crying. I mean, he cried. He cried. He bitched. He moaned. I'm not saying that he didn't get screwed in Montreal. The Montreal screw job, they put the bolts to him.
Okay.
Wait a minute. Can you still hear me?
Yeah, you on there.
Oh, I know. It looked like my thing went out for a second. What I'm saying is that, all right, even with that, you know what I'm saying? Brett knows the game. Brett knew he couldn't walk away with that belt. I mean, at that point in time, y'all got to admit, he was bitching then. He was upset about it,
you know, because he wanted to retire with the belt.
But it don't go out like that.
You know, somebody else got to come in and carry the torch. You know what I'm saying?
But didn't that happen at the same time somebody else left another wrestling company and threw the belt in the garbage?
Exactly.
Medusa did that on WCW.
And you really think he was gonna actually give Brett that chance to do that? You knew Eric Bischoff was gonna tell him bring the WCW title
in the garbage. Now, that's a kick in the ass there. The winner's title is one thing. Throwing that heavyweight title in the garbage, you know, will be a bitch.
Right. That's the most prestigious belt there was.
Hold on a second, man. We got like 6 minutes left in this segment. Let me get my top five in. I'm going from five to one. I'm about to change it up a little bit. Because I got to throw Dean Malenko in there at number five. All right?
All right.
Number four, Scott Steiner.
Yeah, that's who I'm talking about.
Nobody's got about Gonzalez. Scott Steiner's my number four.
Not the Papa Puff guy, right?
That's Rick Steiner.
My number three. My number three. Probably going to get a little flack for this one, but I got to go with Edge. Got to go with Edge on number three. My number two, Benoit. My number one, Bret Hart.
Thank you. But Edge?
So you said...
But Edge?
Mr. Edge
himself. Y'all need to go back and look at Edge matches. That man can flat out wrestle.
Okay, he's just like Shawn Michaels.
Now, you know, I ain't going to take that away, brother.
You're right. Come on, please.
Edge would wipe the ring with Shawn Michaels, man. In a straight-up technical wrestling match, Edge would destroy Shawn Michaels, man. None of that high-flying bullshit. Because Edge can get on top rope, too.
Edge is a high-flyer, too, though.
But I'm saying, as far as technical wrestling go, Edge versus Shawn Michaels, no top rope, straight up wrestling, Edge will destroy.
I think Edge would take Shawn Michaels. But I don't think he could have beat Shawn Michaels back when Shawn Michaels would have been younger. I don't think Edge would have been able to beat him. Maybe like now, he probably would have had a chance, and that's my opinion.
Hold on now. As wrestling fans, y'all really can't put Edge and Shawn Michaels in the same category? You really going to put that
thing?
Edge is a physical wrestler. Michaels is a performer.
I really agree with you, Cass. I'm
going to start down the line. Black Neck, I mean, can you really say that?
No, you can't. That's like apples and oranges there. I'm sorry.
He's all right, but I'm sorry. He got to fall in the same category as Shawn Michaels. I'm sorry.
Put him in the arena where ain't nobody around, no fans, just them in the ring wrestling. Edge will win 9 out of 10 times.
That's beside the point who's going to win. What we're saying is that you said technical. He's just as much of a performer as Shawn Michaels.
In addition to that, he's also a big crybaby too. When he loses, he just has his little tantrums and all. That's ain't number showboating. I'm sorry, he's in the same position with Shawn Michaels. I stand on that.
Table ladders and chairs. I mean, come on.
Oh my!
Famous from it. If the episode wasn't approved, the broom didn't make you famous.
I'm sorry, dude.
When you put him on the mat,
just turn the lid on the garbage can and let people pick your trash up. Let me ask you this question.
What was your top five? Tad, what was your top five again? I said Ric Flair, Randy Savage, Chris Benoit, Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart.
Okay. Now, we'll take Edge, and we'll take Macho Man. Okay? We'll take Edge and Macho Man. Listen, let me finish. Let me finish.
In a match together?
Let me finish.
Okay.
We'll take Edge, and we'll take Macho Man. We'll put him in the ring versus Shawn Michaels. Who has the better match? Edge versus Shawn Michaels or Macho Man versus Shawn Michaels? Who has the better match?
That can go either way.
That can go either way, man.
I didn't say Shawn Michaels carry matches.
Hold on. What are we basing this off of?
It's kind of hard to call that one.
Make a broomstick look good. What? So you put Macho Man in there with anybody. That's a hell of a match, period.
Macho Man is more of a brawler. He's more of a bar street type fighter like that. In his later years, Macho Man's matches, he's more of a brawler. I'm sorry, but
in his later years,
it'd be hard to call a winner on that one. I'm sorry, it'd be hard to call a winner.
Edge would give him a better match, and Edge would win that match.
I don't know.
Edge would win that match versus Shawn Michaels. You know, Shawn Michaels going to come up. He going to come up out of nowhere with something. You know, the pyramid with something.
What Macho Man are we talking about? Are we talking about the Macho Man that won the Intercontinental Championship belt? Now, he'll give him and Shawn to have a great match.
We're talking career. We're talking his whole career.
Like I said, Macho Man can make a broomstick look good. So it didn't matter which it was, the older or the younger Macho Man. But now,
right?
I haven't seen Edge carry too many matches.
Towers of Power in there.
Okay, they had SummerSlam in 85. Dominated. They dominated a lot of the battle royals. They came in, banged up a lot of people, and then, you know what I'm saying, they did their job real good. You got, they ran from 86, 87, and almost up to 88. In 89, they died out. I give them that.
Hold your thought. We're gonna start with Black Neck. Black Neck, why do you think the Tower should not be in there?
I completely forgot about them. I forgot they even were a tag team.
Right. The Towers of Power, and I meant to say Demolition too.
I don't think they accomplished enough to be classified as a good tag team. I mean, to be Macho Man and Hulk Hogan on Saturday Night Main Event don't really classify you as a great tag team.
Right.
I'm sorry. I just don't see it.
Who's
I don't see
on that one?
Okay. All right. Black Neck. Who you thought? All right, Cass. Why shouldn't they be in there?
I mean, they were garbage. I mean, I came to dream, man. I mean, they were just two big men. They were what did they call? They were transitional champions. We don't got nobody to put the belts on. We tired of putting the belts on Demolition. We need some new meat to come in. We put the belts on them until we could build another tag team up. They were transitional champions all day long.
They were champions?
Right, I didn't even know that. I don't remember them having the belts, to be honest with you.
I don't think they were ever champions, Jeff. I don't think
it was a flash in the pan. It was like a transitional champion. Like, okay, I didn't want to put the belts on Demolition. I don't want to put the belts
on Demolition. They gave them the belt. They earned the belt, but they weren't able to keep it.
Hold on, y'all. We got to keep moving. Because we can talk about them motherfuckers all goddamn day.
Yes, sir.
They were fucking horrible.
Look, can I give my reason why I say they shouldn't be there? I got two words for it.
Fuck
they suck.
No, fuck it.
Okay.
Yeah, Big John,
on.
You might want to. Big John, you might just want to mute yourself after saying some shit like that, man. You should be done for the rest of the show.
I got another call.
You ain't got nothing to say for the rest of the show.
See,
I admire what they did. So, hey, that's my opinion. I'm standing.
I feel you, dog. I feel you. All right, Wick, give us your top five.
My top five.
Just like when you threw Edge out there. Now, come on now. Come on.
Edge was better than goddamn Towers of Power.
Come on, man.
Let me get my top five, fella. I got the Road Warriors, the Heart Foundation, Gino and Chris, and my number five is Tony Atlas and Rocky Johnson.
How you going to run away from the Dudleys?
I had to put Chris and Gino in there. Where did I leave off at? That individual
suggested I be muted through this whole show.
Okay.
I think I'm within my FCC regulation or rights to voice my opinion. This is America, home of the free and the brave. Okay.
Oh, this
okay.
America,
so we have
my president
the first
black
president
huh?
in the world. Okay.
Hold on, Big John.
I'm gonna put it in park.
I have nothing bad to say about his top five, so hey, I'm cool with his top five. I'm cool.
Thank
with
you.
Him. I had to take
what's the next segment?
I had to take the Dudleys out because Gino and Chris.
The who?
Man, I gotta put.
Whatever, man. Whatever. Oh, you know what? You got a point there. I forgot about them, too. You're right. The Dudleys were good, too.
Hold on. Do anybody got anything to say about his top five?
No. I agree to his top five. I think that was a good choice. Those were good choices.
Mm-hmm. All right, give us your...
So everybody in agreement that Wick had a good top five.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah, no doubt.
Oh, yeah, definitely. No doubt.
Great top five. Great top five.
Well, hey, man, it's just like I can't really think of all this because I'm so excited to be on your show. I ain't talked to you in a long time, man. I get tongue-tied when you talk about wrestling. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, you got one of the greatest shows on the planet, man. You got one of the greatest shows on the planet. Yes, sir.
We appreciate it. All right, Jimmy, you're top five. Ready?
Yeah,
all right, what's next?
What you say now, Jimmy?
Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm waiting on you, brother.
Oh, okay. All right. I have to go with someone here. I got to go with the Road Warrior. Got to go with the Hart Foundation.
Okay.
I got to go with the can't forget the British Bulldogs.
Right.
Okay.
Got to go with the Freebirds.
But
okay.
See, they wasn't a tag team, though.
Okay.
It was a three-man.
Okay.
That's more
fun. Right.
Okay,
fine. Right. I'll make it easy. Then, okay, I say Jimmy Garvin and Michael Hayes.
Yes.
Okay.
Michael
P.S. Hayes. Jimmy Garvin. Yeah, Michael P.S. Hayes. What's that number? Is that four?
That's four.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's four? And, hey, you might want to disagree, but I got to go with the Samoan SWAT team.
The Samoan SWAT team. Oh, I remember who you're talking about. I thought you were going to. Yeah, I remember you talking about.
SWAT team. Are you serious?
The Samoan SWAT team.
Oh, yeah.
Now, that's something to talk about.
Okay, go ahead.
Can I start this one off? Can I start this by the top five?
Okay.
I'm with you. I'm with you. But the only reason I can't give it to the Samoan SWAT team is because it wasn't enough longevity there. Other than that,
thank
they
you.
Were great.
That's true.
It just wasn't
that's
longevity.
True.
Great team.
They were at,
great
they,
team.
You know, I admire their athleticism. They were powerhouses. They were colorful. But they just didn't have enough time and longevity in their career to say that they would be considered as a top
right.
five.
So you can't say they suck by the time they kicked the team's ass.
They was like the Samoan Sweet team.
I would put them against anybody. I would put them against anybody. Anybody.
I put them up against the Tower of Power. Tower of Power.
That's not a good example for them.
Yeah, they did wrestle in more places than just WWE with Slick. So, you know, it's a whole... That's a whole different concept.
Exactly. Right.
It's how the power was rushed together with Slick. So you got it. That's a whole different
I like
concept.
That dude, man. He cool. He all right. He all right.
Yeah, but other than that,
I put the Samoan SWAT team against the Tower of Power any day.
Other than that, dog, I'm right towards your tag team. And that the Samoan SWAT team just didn't have enough time to become that world-famous tag team. That's my
point. I'm going to explain why they didn't have enough time. They couldn't get a work visa, okay?
Wow. Now, if the Tower the power could get on the fucking plane, if they could fit their
plane. I mean, all they
plane.
Had to do, man, all they had to do was marry a couple of American women. They'd been in there. You know what I'm saying? They didn't have a visa. They got deported.
And Slick has been out of jail every other week for robbing and stealing. Right. What the fuck?
Right, right.
Okay.
Okay.
A career wrestler turned into a career criminal. Okay.
And now he's preaching another criminal. What the fuck?
Right.
Still stealing.
Bring it, brother. Bring it. Tell the truth.
Hey, Wick, you got anything to say about his top five?
I have to agree with you on the Samoan SWAT team just to have enough time together, man.
Okay,
I'll go for that. I accept that one.
Mm-hmm. You're
horrible. But they were a good tag team. They were a good tag team,
but that, you know, with the right kind of conditioning and enough time, they would have been superb.
They had to look up to the Samoans, the first Samoans.
Right.
So there was like a lot of pressure on them.
Right.
The Samoan Sweet Team.
You know.
I have issues with the Samoan Sweet Team.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, now, Father Times, Tiger will be Rocky King and And make Six Man Moment or some shit.
No, I'm gonna give you mine. I'm gonna give you mine right now. I'm
going
to give it right now in this order. Number five, greatest of all time, Harlem Heat. Number four, greatest of all time, I would have to go with, Harlem Heat, the Steiner Brothers, the Royal Warriors.
Right. Go on.
The very first Midnight Express.
Okay.
And the Dummies.
Perfect.
The very first Midnight Express, you talking about Dennis Johnson?
I'm talking about Sweet Stan.
That's the second Midnight.
Sweet Stan Martin.
The same thing. That Midnight Express. Mm-hmm. The one that had Sweet Stan.
The original Midnight Express. I agree. I concur with you on that.
Now, hold on. The original
Loverboy Dennis and Bobby was the originals.
Right.
They were the originals.
Stan was in the second one. I'm talking about the one that had Sweet Stan in it.
No, brother, they're not original. The original was Randy Rose and Dennis
Right.
The original one.
That's when.
Well, I'm talking about Midnight Express with Bobby Eaton and Sweet Stan.
You're talking about the third edition.
Harlem Heat, Steiner Brothers.
You had me going until you said Harlem Heat.
Good selection.
What's wrong with
Harlem
Heat?
Was a very good tag team.
Put the brakes on that, brother. Put it in the
park. I did not think they was
a
good tag team, man. I did not think they
were great tag team champions.
They had them out there as thugs and just beat up on people, man.
They made their mark. No, because they were almost the next. Okay, if you want to really go about, what about the Anderson then?
Hey, watch your mouth on the Minnesota Wrecking Crew now.
Okay, what about them? You left them out.
John, you
that's an honorable mention.
That Tower Power in. So hold on, John. We ain't know who he left you alone. Now, all right.
I think I had a chance.
I gotta say something. Mine is against the Bingo Hall champions that you didn't put as number one.
Thank you.
Have more tag team titles than any team in history,
in
man.
History.
That's right.
They have the most
tag team championships in the history of wrestling. Thank
every
you.
Every organization, they held the belt.
And they won it during the time when tag teams were falling off. So, hell, what else are you going to do?
They brought tag team championship back into wrestling.
When you got a bunch of people
who
are all wrestlers.
Oh, they didn't. To quote Ric Flair, all the Dudley Boys they're nothing but glorified stuntmen. You take
that's
them.
Oh my God! Oh my God! I can't believe you're saying this.
That shit.
Hey,
shit. You talking about they held the belts 25 times? Hell, 20 of them was in ECW. Who couldn't? Shit, wasn't no tag team
They didn't have tag teams in every organization they went to, man.
In every organization that they went in, they kicked ass and asked questions later. Okay.
They Bingo Hall champions. I don't think they should go down as the greatest tag team champions of all time.
Ric Flair ain't the greatest wrestler of all time, but he got more championships than anybody in history. He's in everybody's top three. Ric Flair's in everybody's top three.
And
we all agree on the greatest champion of all time.
Now, how can you compare Ric Flair to Ric Flair wrestled all over the world, but at those 16
the
times.
The Dudleys went in Japan and wrestled.
The Royal Warriors in Japan before.
The Royal Warriors won a Japanese title, too.
Can we be adults about this? Can I say what I got to say?
Yes,
y'all
you can.
Can I bag up my statement?
Yes, you can. You have the floor. You got the mic.
Let's all play the spade. Hell, the first 10 years they was in the motherfucking Bingo Hall. They didn't leave New Jersey or New York or wherever the fuck they was at. So,
They stayed mostly in the East Coast and in part of the Southern Belt. Okay, so what you saying? But they did go overseas. And that does help.
John, I really don't want to push the mute button on you, but can I finish what I got to say?
Yes, sir.
Now, like I was saying, Ric Flair, from day one, Ric Flair defended titles up into every territory. Every territory Ric Flair defended that title, except with the exception of probably the WWF back then. Even AWA, World Class, Florida, everybody let Ric Flair come in and defend that title. Come on, man. They was with Paul Heyman in a bingo hall for 10 years. Come on, mm-hmm. man. You can't compare.
How many times did they win in WWF?
I don't know. I didn't even try to keep up with them. They
were like three, four-time champions in WWF alone.
They're glorified stuntmen, like I said. You take away the T1, get the table. You take away that shit, them tables out of the chairs, they were nothing.
Listen. You take away the top rope, Shawn Michaels is nothing.
Exactly.
We're talking about something right now, aren't we? We're talking about the...
You talk about gimmicks, though.
Shawn Michaels wasn't a glorified pretty boy, that's all. That raised his leg up.
Okay, I'm really
going to treat. He raised his leg up in Marcus territory.
Can I put my top five in?
Let him put his five in.
All right, my top five. Maybe not in the order that it is, but this is my top five. Road Warriors. Okay. I'm gonna put Chris Gino in there too. I'm gonna put Harlem Heat in there. I'm gonna put number four. I'm gonna put Midnight Express. Stan Lane and Bobby. Right.
Okay.
My number five. Now I went back and forth with this one. I went back and forth, and I didn't know which ones to really put. So I'm gonna tie this and say my number five is between the Steiners and the Hart Foundation.
Ooh, wow. That's going to be a hard pick. I would more or less lean towards the Steiners in lieu of the Hart Foundation, but the Hart Foundation has a little more longevity than the Steiners did. Just a little bit more.
Well, how much longevity can you get if you're wrestling with your brother?
I mean, right. Right.
They didn't have more longevity. If you look at it, the Hart Foundation really didn't come about to like, what, 84, 85? And they went from 89?
Yeah, about right.
Well, you and mm-hmm. Steiner Brothers came like 87 and went throughout the whole 90s together, damn near.
Before a brother got on steroids.
Think about it, Dr.
Nah, he was on
the
move.
So,
that's a hard choice. That's a hard pick, though, between the Steiners and the Hart Foundation, because I think they're both great athletes. I think the teams were great athletes, and I think that, they did their mark on championships as far. I would have loved to see a championship match between those two teams to really make, decide who was really the best.
Go on YouTube. The match is there. The Hart Foundation versus the Steiners were named WWF. They had the match.
I never got a chance to see it, but how did it come out?
I think it ended in a double disqualification, if I'm mistaken.
Okay, so that way you can't decide the better.
I just got this problem with y'all.
They should have had a rematch. They should have used a rematch clause just so they could decide who was the better championship. I mean, who was the better tag team.
If anybody my top five, please do.
I have a problem with the Harlem Heat, man. The Harlem Heat wasn't... Y'all going to put the Harlem Heat before Tony Atlas and Rocky Johnson?
I got to tell you this. You got to do your homework on this. Me and Jimmy, we've done our research on this. First black tag team, yes, I give them that, but they only defended the one time. That was it.
Okay.
You've never seen them on TV ever actually wrestling. You've seen them, and when they did defend their titles finally, they lost. They never defended their titles.
But the Harlem Heat held a lot of titles, too.
Seven of them.
We're talking about Rocky Johnson and Tony Atlas.
Right. They never defended those titles, Wick. I mean, granted, we were young. We were seeing them on TV. We were seeing them holding the belts. But and Tony Atlas.
They didn't hold him long. They sure didn't hold him long.
They never did.
Like you said, they only had him one time and they lost it.
A week.
They held them a little bit longer than a week, but
a little bit longer than a week. Five working days, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
They never. I mean, dog. If you check YouTube, you can check the shoot interview with Tony Atlas. His tell you, they never even defended the titles. They would put them on TV with the belts. So I mean, yeah, granted, they first Black World Tag Team Champions, but
right.
Other than that, I mean, they didn't do nothing. Their first and only title defense, they lost the belts.
Yeah, that's true.
Harlem Heat, baby.
I'm telling you, I'm going Harlem Heat, baby. Harlem Heat, baby. Feel the fire.
There you go. Feel the fire. Restore the world, baby.
That's right. Harlem Heat, all the way.
Them bingo hall champions that y'all keep hollering about, I can't see.
You
yeah.
You know what, man? You know what?
Man,
we don't
leave
that alone.
Leave that alone.
We got a couple of minutes left, so let's. So I got two for next week. Everybody got a week to think about this.
All right.
Your top five factions. Okay?
Okay.
All right.
And the top five worst gimmicks.
Okay.
Okay.
So that's what we're going to discuss next week.
The best matches and the worst gimmicks. Is that what you're saying?
Top five factions as far as NWO, Horsemen, top five factions. More than three wrestlers together in one group.
Wow.
Well, three or more.
I'm fired.
Three or more.
Me, that had to be the Four Horsemen. I'm fired. That had to be the
Horsemen. We might have it up next week. Next week, baby.
All right.
Now, hold on.
I'm going to do me a little research. I'm going to come up with something.
I got to ask this question. I mean, I pulled them out because y'all said that they shouldn't be. But, I mean, I gotta go with what Jimmy said as far as the Freebirds, man. Because, I mean, you can't put them as a faction because it was only three. You can't put them as a
three
tag
or more.
Team.
Three or more.
Three or more makes a faction because you could change the tag team.
You got to think about it, man. The Freebirds, they evolutionized tag team wrestling. It was three of them, but granted, they was wrestling before really it was a bunch of factions out. So it was three of them, but yet still, you never knew which two you was going to get.
And then not only that, let me throw this in there. Nobody never really mentioned Nikolov. Ivan and Nikita, yeah. Nobody threw that one in there. They were some dynamic tag teams. They were a dynamic tag team.
If that's the case, an honorable mention, Hot Stuff, Eddie Gibbard, and Terry Taylor.
Okay.
I was watching UWF yesterday. My problem with them would go with the same thing as I said about the SST. Just wasn't
long enough.
Not long enough.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because they kept working them up. They would keep them as a group. I mean, together, but at the same time, they would get, like, for a while, Terry Taylor had the television title. He always had Eddie Gilbert in his corner, but they never really kept together as a tag team. Because once Sting moved on and got higher up and Chris Adams left, they really didn't have nobody for them to go like at a tag team.
You know what? I'm going to tell y'all something. Y'all know the greatest tag team that everybody completely forgot about? I mean, if you really go back and think about this, hands down, the greatest tag team was Telly and Arn. You can't beat them, man.
Thank you.
Telly and Arn.
We all agree on that. Yes, sir. Telly and Arn, they were the best.
We all agree, but now they were part of a faction, though.
Right.
Yeah, true enough. But if you break them down into tag teams, they were probably the greatest tag team in history, man. They just didn't get it because of Flair. Flair held them back.
Right. Yeah, they didn't get it because they was walking in Flair's shadow.
I disagree with that because when they left and when they went to the WWF and they were the Brainbusters, they just couldn't get over. Actually, they couldn't get over without Flair. I mean, as good as they was, I mean, and then they even put them with Bobby Heenan as their mouthpiece. But
I disagree.
Without that four horseman camaraderie, it just didn't go right.
Right.
I think Vince took them down in WWF.
It didn't, because when they got to the WWF, their career started, like, they started losing matches and, you know, they came in like rain and just kept on going. Because everybody was beating them then, and that's when Tully, like, hey, look, I haven't had enough. Tully dipped on him.
I don't know whether it was, maybe you're right, because I think had y'all not put them with Bobby Heenan and let, because Arn is one of the best promo guys around.
Arn was a very good technical wrestler as well.
Right, but
he was a good technical wrestler.
Let them speak their own promos, because him and Tully, they could get out, because, you know, whenever they got on the mic, they was just as good as Ric Flair. So,
yes, sir.
If you really look at it, they were.
You remember Cuddy's greatest line in the promo?
Street,
I'm good out there too. when he told Dusty Rhodes, you want to take it to the streets? I'm good out there too. Best promo ever, man.
Yeah,
that's the best one line in the promo.
Another one he said, I hate to toot my own horn, but toot. Okay? Didn't remember that one, did you?
Yeah, like I said, you got to think about it. Now, they had their chance. They got from up under Flair's shadow. They went on to a whole other federation. They just did not flourish. So you cannot
They just couldn't hold up.
It was like
without Ric Flair, there were no Tully and Arn. You know what
I'm saying? I disagree with you because back then, Vince brought you in to destroy you if you came from another federation.
True.
That's what he did. He brought you in and destroyed your career.
True.
But he put a lot of pressure on them, too. Every night, he put a lot of pressure on Tully and Arn for coming in because of their reputation in WCW. But he had to do that because he made ticket sales. And then not only that, in the process of doing that, he did that to really break them. And that's exactly what he did. He was successful in breaking them. He split them up.
At that time,
I don't think that was Vince's thing. Vince wasn't into breaking up
That's what he was. Like he did Ric Flair, like he did Shawn Michaels. I mean, he put so much pressure on Shawn Michaels. I mean, hey, he put pressure on all of them.
I'm going to break it down to you like this as far as Vince goes.
Just when he finished a championship match, he got another championship match. The man didn't get a chance to rest.
I'm going to break it down to you like this when it comes to Vince. Think about this. Vince got three of the best wrestlers in WCW when he bought WCW. Three of their best wrestlers.
Yes, he did.
And
he destroyed
their careers. Dean Malenko.
At that time, yeah.
Dean Malenko didn't get no type of push in WCW. None of them did. The only one that got a push was Benoit. All four of them came in together. The only one that got a push was Benoit.
He put Benoit on the spotlight. Yes, he did.
Vince, at that point in time, at that juncture of the game, Vince was trying to kill careers then. At that point, Vince was trying to kill careers. But now, back then in the 80s, he wanted to bring them. He wanted to build you up. It's just some people just didn't fit in certain places. And
he couldn't
stand
the right gimmick.
The same way he did Hulk Hogan. He used Hulk Hogan, too.
Hulk Hogan was the worst wrestler in history.
Ever.
Who?
He's the worst wrestler in history. True enough, he did a lot for the wrestling as a show. But as far as in the ring, he was the worst wrestler ever.
He was just pageantry. He made a lot of wrestlers look good.
He'll tell you he wasn't a great wrestler. He'll tell you,
he
had three moves. I got the punch. I got the boot to the face. I got the leg drop.
He said
that those are my moves. He said that's what I do. He said I ain't never said I was a great technical wrestler, but those are my moves.
He ain't no wrestler at all, man. I want to hear you hear from a fucking leg drop. And that pinned you? Come on.
Come on, let me try. Let me see if it works.
That's the whole man. He's the worst wrestler ever, man.
He was garbage. Hulk Hogan was garbage. I'm sorry.
He had the look. Hogan had the look.
He had the Venice Beach, California look that everybody thrived. And then they put him out there and he used the name Hulk because of his size. All he did was sell T-shirts and bandanas.
And that's,
right. That's all he was good
top
for.
Dollar now.
Yeah,
I don't understand how he got
top dollar now.
I don't understand how they say he changed wrestling. What did Hogan do to change wrestling?
He had kids wanting to eat vitamins and
he
take milk.
Don't change wrestling. He left.
He
showed how to make
question.
Money.
Right.
Right. He bought that business to a $1 billion industry.
Industry.
I don't know how. He's horrible.
But he had
I thought this was a panel of experts. I didn't know we were dealing with amateurs here. I'm sorry. I was misunderstood.
He's horrible.
You can't understand.
Hogan
is horrible.
I'll take Stone Cold over Hogan any day.
I'll take Stone Cold
horrible,
over Hogan any day, too.
But he did change
too.
Wrestling.
Okay.
You're saying that Hulk Hogan changed wrestling. How did he change wrestling? I don't understand.
He brought it to the big marketing business. He brought it out there for the money.
When y'all was talking about that backyard wrestling, he brought it to sports entertainment.
Right.
True
enough, don't get me wrong, he sucked, but you can't take nothing that the man did away from him.
He sucked. I think Flair did more for wrestling than he did.
Flair wasn't getting the push because he was on
I said
table.
Flair.
Flair didn't get the
same
cable.
I still think Flair did more for wrestling than Hogan, man. That's just my opinion.
Any day. Exactly. Yes, he did.
Everybody got one.
But Flair brought more for wrestling than Hogan.
Hogan just got the push.
Right. He got the popularity and got the whim of the people.
I'm the biggest Ric Flair fan in the world. But let's look at it from a marketing point of view. Marketing-wise, the man...
Okay, Hogan made more money. Hogan made more money than Ric Flair.
John, you's going to get muted. Now, I let you say it that you had to say. Now, let me finish.
Okay.
Now, he was just more marketable, man. Ric Flair was a better wrestler. There's no doubt in my mind. Ric Flair was a better wrestler. What it was is that Hogan... Like y'all said, he had the look. He brought the persona. He had the motherfucking, he had the machine behind him. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And if y'all look at it, them motherfuckers caught on. Which one of them caught on a little bit too late?
And that's how Vince McMahon made a lot of his money off of Hulk Hogan.
And if you look at it, now, hold on, y'all. Now, think about it. The NWA, they switched their style up. They switched their style up to keep up with, just like World Class tried to switch their style up to keep up with Vince, but they was a day late and dollar short.
Right.
If
y'all ever get a chance, look at the AWA DVD, the legacy of the AWA. And Hulk will tell you, even back then in the AWA, he was selling his own T-shirts and saw how to market his shit. And that was how, and Vince McMahon caught on to that. That's why he bought him WWE.
Exactly. That's right.
Check out that DVD. That's a good one. If you ever get a chance, check it out. It's a good one.
Right. Because why y'all sitting there talking about, well, Ric Flair, I mean, granted, I mean, y'all, anybody that know me know I'm like one of the greatest Ric Flair fans of all time. But while Ric Flair was talking about this, that, and other, they were going global. Hogan was going global. Going global to the point where it was just so marketable that you had either Chinese kids and everybody else, Australian kids, and everybody hollering,
But see, as long as he would have been in WCW, he probably would have never got that opportunity like he did in WWE.
Right. And I mean, which
and Vince, like you said, Vince saw that and he jumped on it. He cornered the market on that.
They didn't do nothing for the business.
Yeah, I'm gonna go use it now. Oh, it's on there. I used it last night.
I'm not understanding. I'm like you, Jimmy. I thought I was on here with some motherfucking wrestling experts.
They taking their hate for the wrestler and not thinking about the talent and the things that he did for. Y'all know I'm a Hulk Hogan basher. I can't stand him, but I got to give the man his props.
But you know what, Jimmy? I got to agree with you. I'm a Hulk Hogan basher as well, but the man made money. That's what he was there for.
Vince knew he was going to make money.
Right.
He could make money off this guy. And to show you how he did that, WCW tried to do the same thing with Lex Luger, but it just didn't work with Lex. Lex wasn't that marketable.
Right.
They tried to do it with Lex. He wasn't marketable.
Mm-hmm.
What they screwed up with Lex is they put him with the four horsemen. They should just let Lex be himself. They should
right.
have him by himself and just let him go out there and be this big terror without
right.
being the four horsemen.
Right.
I think
that was Lex Luger's downfall when he joined up with the horsemen. If he had just stayed an individual wrestler, he'd have been fine. Okay, gentlemen, I gotta fly. I'm getting a beep on my phone. My battery dying, but it was nice talking with you. Gonna hear from you again. All right.
Same time next week.
We'll do. It's a date.
All right.
All right, y'all. Now, like we were saying, I mean, and I gotta agree with you that. Lex just didn't get popular enough because they fucked up and they put him with the horsemen.
Yeah. They tried to do the same thing.
Actually, though, to be honest with you, it really wasn't a mistake because the horseman was the hottest thing going. So you might as well put him with the horsemen.
You needed that first blood to go against the horsemen. If you were trying to build up a Hulk Hogan type character, the last thing you wanted to do was put him with them. Because and for all practical purposes, Arn, Tully, and Rick can like I said, I use the term again. They can make a broomstick look good. Well, you had Lex, who was totally horrible. Who a lot of these guys are horrible. You know what I'm saying? Well, you need the bad guy. You needed Ric Flair to make him look good. You know what I'm saying? You needed Ric Flair there to make him look good. See, now Ric Flair could have brought him to the Hulk Hogan level. But once you put him with Rick, tarnished him, then you actually got to see how horrible he really was.
Like I said, wasn't that Rocky King that said they spent 2 days trying to teach him how to do a small package?
Yeah. 2 days
small package.
Huh? Like you said, took him 2 days to figure out how to do a small package hole. He was horrible. But now, if you put him in there with...
Go ahead.
You put him in there with Flair would have made him look like he was a diamond. You'd have put him in there with Tully in the beginning, would have made him look like a diamond. But now you got him in there against who?
Yeah.
Rocky King, and then you tried to start a feud with him and Dusty, which was just horrible. Now maybe if you could call Dusty on his downside, the later years, hell, Dusty couldn't hold no matches at that point.
Yeah, that's true.
He could barely walk at that point.
Right.
So I mean.
Well, I think the horseman move was good, but I still think Mongo was the best horseman, baby.
Oh my goodness!
You're not serious,
Mongo, baby. Mongo was the best horseman. Mongo had that horseman in his blood.
This is a bad joke, right?
Before this cut off, man, I mean, this ain't Sin City. We know that your thing is to piss people off, but we really talking real wrestling here. So, I mean,
Mongo was horseman, dude. Who was a better horseman than Mongo?
Barry.
Who lives Four Horsemen in their blood? Mongo, Mongo, dude. I'm telling you, Mongo didn't care about belts. He didn't care about nothing. All Mongo cared about was the Horsemen.
He was a good hype man.
Baby Doll was a better horseman than he was.
Who you say?
I said Baby Doll was a better horseman than he was.
Get the fuck out of here, man. Fuck out of here, man. I thought she was a wrestling guru, man.
I thought you were
good.
Mongo.
That was good.
Mongo,
that was good.
And Mongo embodied Horseman, dude. Nobody loved a Horseman more than Mongo, man. That's what made him a great Horseman. He didn't care about championships. He didn't care about his career, none of that. All he cared about was a Horseman. That's it. He didn't care about nobody else.
Hell, I can stand behind I can stand behind y'all and throw my four fingers up all day, too.
Mongo, baby. Mongo always going to be one of the best horsemen, in my opinion. Always. Because he didn't care about nothing but the horsemen.
He couldn't do nothing.
Right,
he did what he did, what he had to do for the sake of the group. He did what he had to do. He put everything on hold.
Okay, I mean.
Even his wife.
His claim to fame. His claim to fame was what?
Throwing that four, baby.
Oh, man, I think that's by far the worst thing you can ever say it.
Mongo was, I've been telling y'all for years, man.
I wish you
Mongo
had sound
was
right
the
on.
Best horseman. He was
just
better than Paul Roma.
Said, just made me dumber.
He was better than Luger. He was better than Sting. Mongo loved the horseman. I won't say he was better than Benoit. But by far, Ric Flair, Arn, Mongo, and Benoit, best one.
Okay, okay, man. We talking shop now, so I really didn't think that I would have to do this none today, but I
what you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. Everyone is now dumber for having listened to it. May God have mercy on your soul.
Oh,
yo, Mongo, baby. Mongo.
Wow.
The best horseman
you
was
do,
Sully, Rick, and Barry. Best
my name, my would never change. Mongo was the best horseman. Period.
So you really think he was better as a horseman than Barry Windham?
I think Mongo embodied horseman, which makes him the best for horseman.
And this is what I go through day in and day out.
But now you also got to keep in mind, Tom.
This illusion.
The horsemen were known for being technical wrestlers. Mongo wasn't.
Right. Come on.
Dang, but so see, y'all not hearing me. Y'all not hearing me.
No,
the man embodied horsemen.
We heard.
He embodied horsemen. Like I was telling y'all earlier, he didn't care about belts. He didn't care about his spot.
But he couldn't wrestle. He couldn't wrestle.
He couldn't wrestle to hold a belt. Nobody
but he didn't want a belt. All
he wanted was
to be a horseman. He loved
it. He should have been a manager because he wasn't a wrestler.
That's not the point, man. The man loved being a horseman, dude. He loved his spot.
Fine.
Sorry.
Better ask somebody. I don't care what nobody say, man. I'm going to take that to my grave. I believe Steve Mongo McMichael was the best fourth horseman.
He could have been Super Bowl shuffle. What the hell?
That's football, baby. That's football. We
and that's what he knew. And that's what he knew. He knew football. He couldn't even Super Bowl shuffle. What the fuck?
Right. Oh my God, man, that was horrible, dog.
Yeah, horrible way to end.
Yeah,
horrible way to end a good show. We were having a good time too.
Right, hey, man. Hey, like you say, everybody got one. Opinions like assholes. Everybody got one. Mongo is my opinion. In my opinion, embodied horseman, which makes him one of the better four horsemen. He loved it, man. He lived Horseman. He lived it.
Okay.
It's just like the Taliban motherfuckers. They love that shit, which makes them great fighters. Mongo loved being a horseman, which made him a great horseman.
Okay.
All I need now is my briefcase, and I'm good.
Oh, man.
I done brought you down.
I don't even think I'm going to do the show no more.
Damn.
Whatever, man. Just don't forget, man. Next week, man, top five factions and top five worst gimmicks.
All right, well, on that note, y'all, we going to end the show, man. See y'all next week. Oh,
Mongo, baby, Mongo.
All right, okay.
Woo!
Where's Gimmick Mongo? Sorry.